With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello everyone, it's Stevie here and we're back for Volume 2 of Only Here For A Visit. Would you hear some of your thoughts on the XL Bully discourse, Nando's potentially been finished, and other quote-unquote very interesting subjects. As ever, this episode will contain very strong language and boomer opinions, so if you don't like that, away and listen to some true crime podcast or something. So joining me is Dan, who is, as always, breaking kayfabe after ditching his work name. Dan, I must say, you did a great job in the Homer, the Smithers role, but it's back to trusty 7G for you.
I have to say, I thought me and Rizzo did a fantastic show at the weekend, all things considered.
Well, listen, what I would say about that is, and anyway, also joining us for his first Only Here For A Visit, the debut, if you will, and his first appearance on GigPod in 6 years, it's the co-founder of the show, it's James. Hello, James.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Dan.
All right, Jimbo, how does it feel to be asked back?
I really appreciate being asked back, you know, it means a lot. And I've signed a 3-year deal with Only Here For A Visit, and unless I get emptied, I'm going to see that 3-year deal out.
I think one of the things that we did mention that we're going to be talking about is the XL bully discourse. Now, James, I know me and you don't really talk about this. It's a rant that myself and Dan have privately, among many. But, honest to God, what a boring, boring subject. Am I right, Dan?
Yes, it's really within a day or two. We are now a bit late to the topic, thanks to you being away in Milan last week. You never mentioned, by the way. It reached parody levels very, very quickly. Still in the news, as far as I can tell. But yeah, just a really ridiculous bit of discourse that, of course, a certain Todd Cantwell waded into with his weighty opinion on Instagram.
Can I just firstly say that the first topic being about Dougs is very good, given that I feel like I'm maybe putchy to the itchy and scratchy here. So when I saw the running order come through, Stevie, this is a fairly professional podcast. I'm surprised by that. I have to say that I was yawning when I saw XL bullies come up, because I'm very bored of this discourse as well.
You know, one of the funny things is, but when you see some of the photos of these Dougs, like, you know that way, you see these people in the news,
they're built like Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
They're about to go and fight Andy Joshua at the weekend and all that. The way they're built, it's incredible. It really is. Like, I'm convinced if you put an XL bully, in fact, the funniest XL bully story is one you're going to about me, I'm sure, Dan, in a wee minute, right?
Oh, by the way.
Ah, no, hey, honestly, it is quite something.
I think you just even look at the name, XL Bully.
Well,
I certain someone did look at the name.
What I would say, right, before Dan embarrasses me here, don't worry about that. What I would say is, if you, us three here, right, and you put an XL Bully at the table, I have no doubt that it would finish all your drinks, can square goers outside. I think it would probably win. Which might say a lot for us, but I think it would say more for the build of this XL Bulldog.
I do agree. Just before I come on to your rather amusing tale the other week, no pun intended obviously, talking about the humble canine, but some of the stuff for the owners as well. I mean, I sent you one, it would have been about a week ago now, but they're doing some big meet-up somewhere in England, all the XL Billy owners, and there was one in London already.
Is it Stoke or something?
It was somewhere like that, yes. It was somewhere rough. Again, no pun intended. you know, they were on the news the other day, and there was this guy with a big sort of chain with spikes and everything around his neck, and he went, you know, yeah, this is my dog's, but it's just a bit of bling, isn't it?
But he had a dog chain around him.
I didn't know what to think, to be honest, when I first saw it, but he was defending it, just saying, oh, you know, it's just a bit of bling, and I don't get why people are so intimidated.
Well,
you know, some people you just can't get through to them, Stevie. But I must say, before you do move on.
Right. But I was just going to get to say,
what was it, the best part of 36, 48 hours, where you were adamant that the XL Billy was some sort of celeb?
I didn't know what it was. See, I'd seen these dogs, and I always just called them a bulldog. The bulldogs are the wee fat ones that are quite docile and all that. A bit like Rizzo. But honestly, I've seen these dogs, but I never ever heard any of them call them an XL bully. I just thought they were like a kind of pit bull or something, Dally, if you will. Honestly, I didn't think anything of it. And then I remember seeing all these stuff coming through, and I get all my news now for like BBC and Sky apps, and it was always XL Bully this, XL Bully that. I thought it was a nickname for some celeb, like you hear with that Grimes or something like that, you know. And I thought XL Bully was a celeb. Yeah. I didn't have a clue it was a dog.
Two different versions you were told.
I'm going to give you both a guess here, right, before we move on for this boring disc golf, right? Between June 2021 and June 2023, double figures here. 10 people have died by this breed. What do you think the number is?
Did you not just say 10?
Oh, I did. I've had a fair few drinks already, haven't I? Well, you were late, though. You were late coming here.
I know, I was late. I'd late getting away for work today, and then, you know, a couple of minutes before I log out, my boss is calling me in Teams, and I just switched the laptop off, Stevie, honestly. Phone on, do not disturb. I'm not dealing with it. It's just bollocks. Bollocks.
Right, well, so what's your opinion here? Do we have any sympathy for this breed?
I don't have a lot of sympathy, I'm sorry.
As a fan of the humble canine, I will always stand up for them. So I have sympathy for the breed.
Well, I bet in the next 10, 20 years, but they'll be welcomed into the society. Just like in the 90s when I was a wee guy growing up, it was always stay away from the Rottweilers. They're a bad lot and they'll probably tear your face off. Now I see everybody, they're Rottweiler daft. Rottweilers are practically welcomed in pubs. And every pub is now a dog pub. That is my shoot prediction. 20 years when Gigpod is 6 feet under and in a deep, deep cold ground, the XL Bully will make a comeback.
We should maybe check before you made that point there as to whether or not this pub was a dog pub.
I haven't noticed any dogs.
Unfortunately, we cannot shed any light on that.
No, I can't. I'm looking about here. I'm scanning. And another reason to come to Molly Malone's. Magical Molly Malone's. What a
magical
great pub.
Molly Malone's.
Is the fact that there's no XL Bullies in here, Dan?
There you go.
It's actually my first ever time in Molly Malone's.
Is it? What's your opinions of this wonderful establishment?
Beautiful, beautiful, lovely pint of Guinness.
It's good, isn't it?
Nice picture of the Guinness factory, which I visited in 2018.
Oh, I was there just a couple of months ago. You were there?
I don't go to the factory. Why waste time, an hour, 2 hours of your day, walking around, seeing how it's made? I don't care how it's made. I just
three
like pint
at the end, though.
Nah, but I'd rather just go to the pub, honestly. Get me down to Bowes of Fleet Street instead of doing some daft tour.
Right, well, we're not here to advertise Bowes for Fleet Street. It's magical Molly Malone's, but you are enjoying your Peroni debrief there.
I am indeed. Lovely beer.
Right, okay.
All the beers are available.
I noticed Reeds was part of that with the Coors. Well, I'll tell you what, they didn't do any Peroni back in the days of the Roman Empire, and that's what I'm going to move on to next.
I know,
get lost there. Dan, me and you have talked about this, and James, you know exactly what's coming here as well.
I feel like you have just got really particularly boring subjects on the start of this to make people turn off.
Because of the guests.
And make me fail.
Exactly, because of the guests we've got on.
I think it's personal myself.
No, it's like, what's some boring subjects, but this is topical. I mean, look, over the last few days, there's been this trend, and it's swept through that great app, TikTok, that I've never criticised, in which women asked their husbands and boyfriends how often they thought about the Roman Empire. Now, apparently 99% of them claim to think about the ancient empire as often as every day, or at least every week or two. It's became a meme, right? And it's now spread to social media sites and then received, wait for this, everyone, serious news coverage in multiple outlets, and now it seems like even CNN are covering it right now as I read this.
Is that a serious news outlet?
CNN?
Fake news, mate. Fake news.
All right, Donald Trump. No, look, listen, James, I'll come to yourself first. I know that you have very strong opinions on this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at your face and you seem engrossed in it, or you're really ready to go to sleep, I don't know. But, look...
Well, most of the people listening...
See this Roman Empire nonsense? It's just, it's a flat-out lie, is it no?
Aye, but to be fair, my girlfriend asked me about a week ago, so I told her I think about it twice a day, so...
But did you see the article before it, though? Were you at the wind-up there?
No, I hadn't seen it. But I knew she was at it, so...
But you were working a work?
I was working a work.
No, as long as you're working
I
a
clearly
work.
Clearly don't think I refuse to
believe.
Twice a day.
Yeah, I refuse to believe it was any young man in the west of Scotland thinking about the Roman Empire. I think it's just American nonsense. Once again, I'm really fed up it.
You think TikTok's trying to dumb us down, don't you?
I do, but that's possibly
you better
be a subject.
Careful because James is a big user of TikTok.
Possibly a subject for another episode, and I have to be very careful what I say here, and I mean that sincerely.
We're literally in a group chat, which today I told you that I don't actually use TikTok that much, so quickly.
I thought I saw videos on TikTok of you in Paris or something, though.
I've posted, I was in Paris, by the way, I don't know if you know that. I have posted like 4 TikToks in my 2 years of having the app, but no, I don't use it that often.
This Roman Empire nonsense, it's one of the ones that I think we'll look back on in a few years, like that, remember that daft dress? The one with the gold, is it gold and white or is it blue or something?
James made an interesting one earlier on as well, which again I just thought was, again, more... And I'm sorry to any American listeners out there, right, but just American nonsense for their social media sites about could you or could you not in an emergency situation land a commercial jet and, you know, 90% of men think. I've never thought about it. I don't get it anymore. I really don't.
You did anything to eat before you came?
I was at Costco earlier and I had a pizza slice and a hot dog.
When was your last Nando's?
About maybe 6 weeks ago.
Dan, when was yours?
It would have been, honestly, pre-COVID. I've not been there in years, honestly.
I've not been there since, I would say, it's got about 2021 or something. Got me thinking today. I mean, you know how Nando's used to be the go-to for everyone in this great country?
Yes, yes.
You don't really hear of Nando's being the go-to. It's got me what is the go-to now for your average 20-something, when it used to be Nando's, like up at the Fort or Silverburn or something? Where is it now?
I don't know why you're asking me. I may be a 20-something, but I think we can all agree that I have the mental age of a 50-year-old cab driver, so I really don't know, if I'm being totally honest with you.
You're not in your 20s now, are you, James?
Unfortunately not, no.
So, but that was recent, wasn't it? You were 30 recently.
I'm 31 just now. I'll be 32 in a couple of months. So,
right. So hold on a minute.
He's 31 till he's 32. But
that's how it works.
Great clarification there. No, but I mean, you remember, like in your 20s and all that, Nando's was a big thing, wasn't it?
Aye. I mean, I remember being at Nando's with you a few times.
That's right. Aye. Great days. But it's finished. I don't know. I think I'm not saying it's completely finished, but I think it's definitely on a downward spiral. Because you won't buy it now and it's no longer mob. You used to have to queue for ages to get in.
Yeah, from what I've seen as well, the prices now are just crazy. I get the price of everything has gone up thanks to the wonderful cost of living crisis, but it just seems like crazy prices for what is essentially just chicken, especially when there are lots of other places that have popped up doing similar things in the last few years. Your Black Bristols and such.
Aye, and Pepe's as well.
Pepe's as well is the other big defender.
Pepe's is actually brilliant, to be fair. I actually do like a Pepe's. I was a huge mark for Nando's, but as Dan says there, that wonderful cost of living crisis and the inflation, greedflation.
It's just the cost of greed, let's be honest here.
I still like a Nando's, but I can't justify paying what it is to get one.
I just think the portions were never great either. I mean, I think it's nice.
They're actually worse.
Yeah.
Talk about greedflation, let's talk about shrinkflation.
Seems like right. Him started as an avid fan of the Humble Biscuit, because they've been affected more than most, I would say.
Who, biscuits have?
Aye.
Have you seen the size of a gold bar biscuit?
Oh, don't get me started on the gold bar, by
there
the way.
There we go. Honestly. Script as well.
Oh, it's a disgrace. No, it really is. Don't get me wrong, right? The gold bar would be... It is top tier for me. It is maybe the go-to.
I've got to agree
but
with you.
I need to eat at least...
Fantastic biscuit.
I need to eat at least three of them now to, you know... Otherwise, I'm just starving myself. Honestly, the size of them, man.
You need three of them to get the energy against an XL Billy.
Honestly, it's ridiculous. It is shrinkflation at its finest.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
You know, I've never thought of that though, because I've not been to Nando's, as I say, since COVID, but also since this Costa Greek crisis. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get the impression you probably get a lot less chips, you probably don't get as much rice, and even at that, do you still get the things where you can go to get a juice and all that as much as you want, no?
Well, actually, the last, when I said I was there about 6 weeks ago, I actually got a takeaway one night after work. The chips were tiny, a very small wee box.
So I put it to you now, is Nando's heading? For being finished,
I still got a lot of cachet, but how long that lasts, I don't know.
Like, they're a long way from going under, I would suggest. Not that I've read the accounts or crunched the numbers.
I'll get my runner chap to do that.
One read at Celtic's the other week, that was enough for me. I was dizzy after that, but no, I just think there's other options out there, including Stevie. A wide range of chicken products here at Molly Malone's.
Oh, especially the chicken goujons, my beautiful baby boy.
Indeed, the goujons sterlings.
you should come get some for the barber now.
I might. I think we've got a wide range of spicy wings in here as well. So, no, it's a very extensive menu.
I would agree. We're a very extensive podcast, Daniel.
Oh. I don't know about that. That's up for debate, isn't it?
Well, look at the caliber of guests we've got. Anyway, we're going to move on to our guests.
Thanks for that, Stevie.
You're welcome, James. Now, we're going to move on to you. You obviously said to everyone you were the co-founder of this great show. But this is like your first time back on it since 2017. I think, if memory serves me correctly, your Cheerio podcast was Daniel Lovis in a hotel bar, the Radisson, the Radisson Blue. You said your farewell. And then me and Rizzo took over. But I think that was like the end of the season after the Invincible run.
Yes,
we played
was.
The Undertaker music, I'm sure.
I actually still have the recording of the last ever pod I was on this phone.
Do you actually?
I do actually have it.
And now you're back on it. So you've seen some changes, I'm sure, with Gig Pod. But where's the most obvious change with Gig Pod? Don't say anything about the patter going down, however, since you moved.
I was actually going to say it's got a lot more patter since I left. A lot less handsome since I left, but it's an audio podcast.
Listen,
so that doesn't really matter.
Don't worry about that.
A lot more downloads than when I was on it. And a lot more patter.
I wonder what that says about you.
I know, I was really worried about coming back, but...
I mean, grateful to be asked back.
Grateful to be asked back. You know, to be asked like back. I say, you know, and I'll be here as long as I'm here, you're here. And until I'm emptied, I'll be here.
That is funny though, isn't it? Because obviously you've been here. I mean, we started getting the proper mics in during COVID and cleaning up the audio. And now we're back to square one. We're back in pubs. We're back being unprofessional. We're not really following a script and we're just talking a lot of shite.
I didn't know if this was just a throwback to me being on. To be honest, when you whipped out a phone and said, right, let's start recording, it did feel like it did all those years ago.
Listen, we're going to end and we're going to talk about something that is very dear to you, of course, right? And so we're going to talk about the effect of the COVID vaccine. No, you'll be me face. Look at you.
Just for the record, I am vaccinated. Before it seems like this is some sort of parody against me.
No. Listen.
No.
Yeah, you cannot go out. underrated Simpsons episode. Now you are probably the, yes, I'll say this, you're a bigger Simpsons obsessive than myself and Dan, and we are quite big on that hit show by Fox. But one of the things we're talking about on this show, we're going to chat about, it's not about the part, it's not about the best line, or it's not about what your favourite thing is for the Simpsons, but it's more the most underrated episode. Now I'm going to let you have your wee place under the sun here for this one, James, because I've got mine, Dan, you've got yours, but you've got an interesting one that I think is probably going to be on a true crime podcast for the way you talk about yours. But James, if you want to take the lead here and talk about the most underrated Simpsons episode and why.
I'll tell you how this subject came about, right? I don't know if you know this, but I was in New York recently and I downloaded a whole load of episodes on Disney Plus for the flight over. And I only ended up watching one. And I don't know why I picked this, but I picked the Springfield Connection.
Now for anybody listening that isn't sure, that was the general plot there.
Marge becomes a polis.
And that's it?
And that's it.
Okay, thanks.
And I never realised just how funny it was. Right.
Laughing at your own notes.
Yeah. So I think it's actually Homer. Now, you know my thoughts on Homer. I think early seasons, the great of The Simpsons, Homer's the best TV character of all time.
That's the debate the other week.
Yeah, I don't think ever, maybe.
Wait a minute, when you're saying greatest though, do you mean most complex, most depth here, or do you just mean funniest?
I think all of it, I think.
Because I think you're going to, it's hard really to beat the great, late great James Gandolfini's Anthony Tony Soprano.
Yeah, but I just think Homer, that season 2 to season 11 run. I'm not mentioning season 1 because you know that thing I talked to you about last week.
Dad doesn't know about that.
I've no idea.
So I was watching the Springfield Connection, right, and there's a few good things in that episode, but I think some of it is Homer's at his best. There's a bit where he's chasing Marge. I can't remember if he's chasing Marge or whatever, but he gets out of breath really easily.
Oh, he's chasing the robber. Snake.
Aye, that's right. And he gets out of breath really easily. And then he gets out of the motor later on and he's still out of breath.
And then he patronises her. See, and Marge is
you're hysterical, woman.
Marge is pretty much caught up in it. Yes, it's good when the boys in blue get their man.
And then there's the bit where she just goes into the police station and they agree that she'll become a police, and then it goes to the house and you just hear Homer going, "You did what?" And it's like, "Bart, I just borrowed your nail clippers." Then he steals her pepper spray, he sprays it on his food, police tape round Flanders' house, and Flanders comes home, he's like, "Ah, I made you thought your family was dead." And then she's talking about just her feelings about becoming a police and all that, and she's going on this big thing about her career and stuff, and then Homer just goes, "You're making what for dinner?" it's just some of Homer at his absolute best. When he parks across the 3 handicap spaces outside the Quickie Mart, and she's like, "You're going to need to move your car," and he's like, "Dark, it's fine. If there's any real police, just watch out for them. Let me know."
Homer.
Hey, Marge. How's my little piglet?
Homer, I'm on duty.
That's okay. I'm supposed to be working too.
You have to move your car.
I'll just be a second, Marge. I'm going to get some beer for those kids over there.
I'm going to pretend that I didn't hear that, but you have to move your car now.
I'll be right back. Now keep your eyes peeled for a real cop.
That's it. I'm going to write you a ticket.
Come on, we're family.
You're breaking the law.
I'll make you a deal. You rip up that ticket, and I'll give you back your hat.
He steals her police cap off her and all that, and she arrests him, and then she reads him his rights and all that. He's like, "I choose to waive those rights," and starts just screaming. I just watched it and I thought, nobody ever mentions this as one of the best.
They always talk about like the Frank Grimes one, Last Exit to Springfield.
Last Exit to Springfield, decent, but I actually think that might be the most overrated, because people go on about that as our favourite of an episode. It's alright, it's It's not top tier. Last point on Springfield Connection, Wiggum's also getting it. Very good outro based on the Hill Street Blues theme.
Dan, I believe you want to talk about an underrated episode that isn't in the golden era of seasons 2 to seasons 11.
Yes, I did think I would go outside the box for this particular subject. As James has said there, and I would like to reiterate this point for myself, this is not my favourite episode of The Simpsons.
It wasn't a nostalgic move.
It's a bit like him coming on this podcast. As I say, it's out with the golden era. Only just season 12 as opposed to 11. And it's a little known episode, clearly, because you've never seen it, known as Homer vs. Dignity. Now, I've not extensively prepared notes, because why would I be professional when coming on this podcast? However, to give a rough idea as to the plot, due to Homer's financial woes from years of shenanigans, should we put it, and irresponsible financial decisions, he's down a hole. Mr. Burns looks to exploit him by turning him into his quote-unquote prank monkey.
I do remember that.
You do remember it now?
Yes, I do.
Good, good.
Intro, I'm looking for a patsy.
Honestly, it is fantastic. So, so quotable. The intro to it, where Homer and the family are out celebrating Bart's first A. I don't know if you remember this part.
I don't.
His credit card declines. They try to run and leave the restaurant. They're caught by security. And Homer's forced to sing a rendition of Blue Spanish Eyes with the full family as his backing band.
Do you not remember that?
Later on, in that same sort of segment, he sold the back seats to the car to pay for a novelty horn. Marge mentions that he needs to go see a financial planner. To him, he hears that as a financial panther. And then just the pranks he gets up to with Mr. Burns as well. Keeps throwing stuff in Lenny's eye.
Hey!
Ow! My eye! I'm not supposed to get pudding in it!
No! That was capital. My lung is aching.
I liked when I threw the pudding.
Do it again. I'll make it an even 8.
You're the boss.
Ow! I'm in hell!
Let's keep the laughs coming, eh, Simpson? But say I make you my executive in charge of recreation. No, better yet, my prank monkey.
Will you keep giving me money?
I can't have my little monkey running around in rags.
Woohoo!
Bad old Lenny.
Bad old Lenny. I believe that particular scene was in Tenants. But it's so quotable, honestly. It's brilliant. And then there's a bit where he's in the zoo dressed as the panda. Which does take a bit of a dark turn, I must admit. Nah, a great episode, well, honestly.
It's alright, the panda's got to be on James English to talk about his side of the story, mate.
Listen, everybody's got a past, and everybody can change.
For myself, the most underrated, not my favourite, but
it's your favourite, surely.
It's actually not my favourite. My favourite of our Simpsons episode is probably Duffless. I think it's when Homer gives up the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in that is
something
just gold.
You never do.
Oh, never. especially when why would I give it up when Molly Malone's keeping fighting us here?
Exactly.
Especially when he's fights a Guinness. Be silly not to. But no, it's for me, it's Bartholomew the Murderer. Total gold. And starts off with Bart having a day for hell. A nightmare. Everything goes wrong. You turned your phone off and everything I heard.
Nah, I turned my phone off.
Everything that could go wrong with Bart does go wrong. And then it's the first appearance, I believe, of overweight Anthony, aka Fat Tony, where he's invited into the local Springfield Mafia to be essentially just it just sells drinks, doesn't he? He could be doing it with Ollie Malone's. But I believe, what is it, he makes a good Manhattan. And then ever since he started.
I was there last month. It's this month.
He's kept quiet about it, mate. But
you with Milan.
For all you're talking about. The bit for me that no one seems to go on about it right. And I'll never understand it, because it's just we're all talking about Homer just being the funniest character. But it's the part when Skinner goes missing and Bart's in the court and he's just getting chucked under the bus like Lenny with the players against Fenny Farrows. Bart is just like there himself, and even like to the point Lionel Hutz goes to Homer, who's at the stand, who's his dad, who's the one person that's meant to be defending him, and going, right, this is preposterous, it's ridiculous, you're really trying to frame my 10-year-old son. And Lionel Hutz goes, Mr. Simpson, you've been the boy's father for 10 years, Do you really think you could be the head of a murderous crime syndicate in Homer? Homer, I look at him for about 5 seconds and goes, "We're not the leader," but and then bursts into tears, going, "Oh, it's not true."
Mr. Simpson, you've been the boy's father for 10 years. Do you really think he could be the leader of a murderous criminal syndicate?
Well, not the leader, I mean. Oh, it's true, it's true! All the peaches fit!
It's honestly the funny. Everybody talks about all the funny Homer part and everything that he does. They don't seem to talk about how funny that bit is. And I never understand it. And I think while maybe the first part of Bartholomew the Murdering is slow and it's all cliched with what happens and everything with him, as soon as he gets to the mafia side of the story, it's unreal. Remember the bit when he goes into the bedroom and he's got all the fags and all that? Homer, if you start to smoke, he teaches you a lesson, you're going to smoke all these cigarettes. So again, it's down to Homer, right? But that, just that bad part of the court is one of the reasons that it's that funny. Nobody seems to go on about it. They go on about all the other episodes of The Simpsons, and while it's not my favourite, it's definitely the most underrated, so there we are.
I think it's a very good parody of one of my favourite ever films, which is Goodfellas.
James, I must say, you're an odd fellow, but you record a good pod.
Thank you, brother.
This has been Only Here for a Visit, Volume 2. And with the last words, it is Dan to no doubt say to the own talk up this great pub we're in, because I forget the name of it again, actually.
Molly Malone's, Stevie, you ignorant man. A fantastic pub, and following on from a real theme of this episode, it was great for us to be asked back to record again this week. A fantastic establishment. I thank them once again for their warm hospitality. As you say, this has been Volume 2. I'm only here for a visit. I will be very surprised if we make it to Volume 3, given the first half of this pod. I'm sure the listeners were turning off in their droves, Stevie. But nevertheless, it's always a pleasure to bring bring these wonderful podcasts to our wonderful listeners. And I hope they have enjoyed it as much as I have. It's been truly engrossing. So thanks very much. This has been Only Here for a Visit. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Network.